Turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, please. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. It's our text again today. We looked last week at the old paths, and I want to continue looking at that today. And what you'll see today from me is a side of me you don't normally see. Okay, I'm not normally like this, so it's a little bit unusual. But I want you to pay close attention to the message this morning. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing and anointing upon this message today. I pray, Lord, even more, though, that you would anoint the ears and the hearts of those that will be listening today. Lord, I pray that everyone here would choose the old path, the right way. And Lord, if there is any here today that they are going down the wrong path, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to their heart, that they would stop where they are, and they would begin to make their way backward, that they might follow the right path. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Battle of the Bulge, German soldiers dressed up like Allied soldiers, and they went around changing some of the road signs, thereby confusing the American troops. The same is happening today in the spiritual realm. There are some that are changing the road signs of the Christian faith. And it's resulting in confusion. But even worse than that, it's resulting in death. Twice the Bible warns us that there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so God wants us to know that just because something might seem right to us, it could still be wrong. And many are forsaking the old path, the old way. And they're making new paths, and they're following the new way. And I'm afraid to say that the end of that road is destruction. We know that if we follow the right road, if we follow the old path, the Bible says that there's rest, we're going to have peace in our soul, and we're going to wind up at the right destination. We're going to make it to heaven. But today, this text asks us a question. Or it says that we should ask a question, ask for the old paths. So who is it that we could ask? That we could find directions and they could point us in the right way? That they could point us in the direction of the old path? Well, first of all, you can ask your pastors. What is the old path? What is the way that I should take in my life? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7 says, remembering them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. In that same chapter, in verse 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Let me illustrate to you today one of the major jobs of the pastor. Pastor Craig, where are you? We left for a minute. There's too many souls to watch. Excuse me. See, we are to watch for your soul. And if we see you going down the wrong path, then it's our responsibility to warn you that you are going down the wrong path and that you go in the right path, that you go the right way. We have that responsibility. We might talk to you as individuals, or if we see a bunch of you starting to go the wrong way, we might preach a sermon about it to try to get you on the right path. You know that they said that the window is the eye to the soul. And I think there's a lot of truth in that, because if you look at somebody in the eye, you can tell a lot of things. You can tell if they are happy. You can tell if they're sad. You can tell if they have peace. You can tell if there's anxiety in their life. You can tell a bunch of things. You know that you can tell if somebody is telling you the truth or if they're lying to you by looking at them in the eye. And so we have this responsibility to watch for your souls. And the Bible says that if you go in the right path, then you're going to find rest. But if you don't go in the right path, then you're going to have all kinds of problems in life. The wicked have no rest. They have no rest. What is the soul anyway? Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. What is the soul anyway? Jonathan, where are you? I want you to come up and lay down. You're Adam this morning. Here is Adam. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living..." What's that word? "Man became a living soul." Interesting. Here is Adam. He's just there. He's not dead because he's never been alive yet. He has a perfectly good set of ears, but he can't hear. He has a perfectly good set of eyes, but he can't see. Why can't he do those things? Because the key element that makes those things work, that makes those things come alive in a person, has not been put into him yet. His soul has not been put into him yet. And this that has not been put into him yet is the main job of the pastor to watch. To watch for your soul. And God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And I would breathe into Jonathan today, but he probably wouldn't get up. And God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, when God put a soul in man, that soul consisted of three things. He gave man a mind to think, a will to act, and emotions that can be stirred. Those are three things that make up your soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. God gave you a mind to think, a will that can act, and emotions that can be stirred. When a pastor sees you start to think wrongly, and he warns you about going the wrong way, or he begins to warn you about your thinking, he's concerned that you are beginning to have humanistic thoughts. And he knows that humanistic thoughts like evolution will lead you down the wrong path. And so he begins to warn you about that. Did you ever hear the poem, "Once I was a tadpole, long and thin. Then I was a toad frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey swinging through a tree. Now I am a professor with a PhD." You did not come from some premortal set of ooze with a cell that divided and then amazingly divided again, divided again, and divided again, and turned into a toad frog, and turned into a fish, and turned into a monkey, and turned into Jonathan. No, that's not what happened to you. That's not how you got here. Why does your pastor stand up and tell you that evolution is a lie and that you had better be careful about watching television programs that promote evolution, or you need to be careful about going to a secular college where you will be taught evolution? Why does he do that? Because he's concerned about the path that you might take. He's concerned about your soul. He's afraid that your mind might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Thanks, John. Why does your pastor warn you about cults? Because your mind might be invaded by wrong thoughts. God gave you a mind that could think. He also gave you a will that could act. Know how willful we can be sometimes. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going to go down this path. Instead, you ought to be asking your pastor, "Pastor, what path should I take? What is the old way? What is the right way? What would be the best choice that I could make?" God gave you a mind that could think, a will that could act, and emotions that can be stirred. Do you know that your emotions can be deceived? You know what today's new morality is? It's, if it feels good, do it. Or how can it be wrong if it feels so right? Don't make decisions based upon your emotions. Instead, you've got to come to your pastor and say, "Pastor, my emotions tell me this, but what is the right way? What should I do? I want to follow the right path. I want to make the right choices in my life. What should I do?" Ask him what the old path would be. You say, but look at the world. The world gets away with things. And you know, there are some Christians even that seem to get away with things. But I want to tell you something today. You will not get away with those things that the world gets away with. You will not be able to get away with some things that even other Christians get away with. You know why? You've been taught too much truth. And to whom much is given, much is required. I know your parents here this morning. I know that they teach you truth. And I'm not bragging about our church at all. And I'm not saying that we have a corner on truth, but I know that we preach the truth here. And I know that Pastor Craig leads you in discussions on Wednesday night. And he's dealt with some difficult subjects and some hard things. And he's warned you about going down wrong paths. I know that he has done that. We give you as much light as we possibly can. We have as much light. We give you as much light as we know, as we have. And to be quite honest with you, I've seen too many young people make shipwreck of their faith and throw their lives away. We need 100% of you to go right. We need all of you young people here this morning to make the right decisions, to make the right choices, and to go down the right path. Pastor Craig and Mark and Josh and others are here. We are here to help you. That's all we want to do. We want to help you. We're not trying to run your lives for you. We just want to make sure that you don't make a mess of your own life. And so we watch for you. We watch for your soul. We watch more than your hairstyle and the clothing that you wear. We're watching for your soul. Because you have a mind that can think. You have a will that can be acted upon. And you have emotions that can be stirred. And we are watching those things. It's our job. We have to do that. It's tragic when some young person says that I'm going to do what I want to do with my life. And then we stand up here or we try to work with you and we know that you will never be happy in life unless you are doing God's will. I've seen young men and young ladies and young men alike let their emotions get in the way. I've seen countless ones marry the wrong person because they gave their emotions away. I'm concerned for your soul today. That's why we've had a class, we've had seminars, we've taught parents how to get your children to the altar safely. And can I warn you that before you get too many stars in your eyes, you need to ask your pastor and you need to ask your parents if there is something about this person that they see that you don't see. When I went to my very first youth pastorate, there was a young man in our youth group who had lost his father in a car accident. 8 children in the family. Tony took it the hardest. And when I was warned before I went there, Tony's a tough guy to reach. He's so hard. He is so bitter. Nobody has been able to get through to Tony. Well, through the grace of God, I was able to win Tony's heart. Spent a lot of time with Tony, winning his heart. And I'll never forget the times at the altar when Tony would just cry and sob and weep and just let all of his bitterness go. Tony became an outstanding teenager and then young man. But one day, Tony came to me and he said, "Pastor Rick, there's this woman at work. She's married, but her husband mistreats her." And I said, Tony, watch out. Watch out. I'm afraid that your emotions are getting stirred. I'm afraid that you're going to make a bad decision here. Just watch out. He said, "Oh, Pastor, we're just friends." A couple months later, Tony came to me and said, "Pastor, I really love this woman." And I said, "Tony, you can't do that. You're letting your emotions get away. You felt sorry for her. You're letting your emotions get away. She's a married woman, Tony. You can't have anything to do with her." But I love her. More time went by, and Tony announced that he was going to marry her. And I said, "Tony, is she even a Christian?" "No, she's not a Christian. But she's divorcing her husband, and she's going to marry me." And I begged him. "Tony, don't do it. You're making a mistake." The hardest thing that I probably ever had to do in my life was tell Tony that I would not perform his marriage ceremony because I felt that he was making a big mistake. And I lost a friendship over it. I lost a good friend. I weep today as I think about Tony. And I don't know what happened after that except for the fact that I had to go back to that church for a funeral. And there was Tony with another woman. Somehow he had gotten divorced, and I knew it wasn't going to work out. I knew it was a recipe for disaster from the very beginning. But I tried to warn him, and he wouldn't listen. You know, Pastor Craig and I, we don't want to make your lives miserable. We wish you all the happiness in the world, and I would have loved to have married. I just wish I could have set aside my convictions and my thoughts and went ahead and married Tony, but I couldn't do it. And we want what's best for you, and so sometimes we have to take some tough stands, we have to tackle some hard issues, and we have to deal with you, and you think that we're being unkind, but it's not that at all. We love you, and we're just watching for your soul. I want to help you protect your heart. I've seen so many people with broken hearts. I've seen young ladies go and give pieces of their heart away. Their hearts are broken. They give a piece of their heart to one guy. They give a piece of their heart to somebody else. They give a piece of their heart to somebody else. And then they find the person that they are going to spend their life with. And at the marriage altar, they give that person their whole heart. I thank God that He can restore broken hearts. Give Gertrude her heart back. Thank you. We'll find out later what God is able to do with this heart. But you ought to give your heart to your pastor because he watched for your soul. By the way, your soul includes your heart, which is the center of your emotions. And so you ask your pastor, what is the right path for me to take? Number two, you ask your parents. Parents, you have to help your children decide which paths are the right paths until they are able to decide for themselves. I would like a young person up here, oh, probably 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age. Your dad is here for sure, and maybe your mom. Could you help me out with an illustration? Anybody? Justin, come on. We'll get your parents up here later, all right? But you just come up here right now. It's a dark night, and we are camping in Indonesia. And we need some water. And about a half mile down the river, or down the path, there is some water. And I was wondering if you would go get us some. Would you go get us some water, please? Oh, but before you go, I need to tell you that about 75 feet down the path, I saw a Komodo dragon. You know what a Komodo dragon is? That's a Komodo dragon. Those are lizards. And they can grow up to 10 feet long. And they have this amazing ability that when the wind goes just their way, they can smell their carrion. They can smell their prey 5 miles away. And they are excellent swimmers. And they can climb trees. And they're fast for their size. And their teeth have been compared to sharp-like teeth, razor-sharp teeth. And even if their victims get away for a while, they have this bacteria in their mouth that usually causes an infection and their victim dies later on. But God bless you. Go ahead. Go get us some water. Oh, wait. Before you go, I need to tell you that just beyond the Komodo dragon, I saw a green tree snake. I'm like this one right here. Can you see that? Can you see that tree snake up there?
Yeah.
Just watch. You see how long he gets? Look at that. Slither down that tree. His tongue sticking out. Look at how long he is. Just like the one I saw down the path down there. Look at how long he is. But as long as you look up, you'll be okay. So God bless you. Go get us that water. Oh, wait. I forgot to tell you, there is one other thing. And just beyond that tree snake, there's a couple of pythons. You know, and most snakes will bite you and send out this venom, this poison. Not pythons. They will wrap their strong bodies around you and they will squeeze the air out of you until you can't breathe any longer. But God bless you. We'll be praying for you. Go ahead. Oh, wait, there is another thing. It's beyond the python, there's a couple of crocodiles. You know what crocodiles are like.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Crocodile Man Steve Irwin? Crocodiles have that jaw that is so strong. And if you've ever seen the Crocodile Man on TV, you know how many men it takes to hold him down. So please, please be careful. But go ahead. You're kind of so hesitant. Wait, wait, there is one more thing. Just before you get to the water, there is quicksand. And so you need to jump over the quicksand, because if you fall into the quicksand, it will suck you down under and you'll drown in the quicksand before we could ever get there. So please be careful. You ready to do this?
Yep.
You are. You sure?
Yep.
If I was you, I'd be a little bit nervous right now. I know what you need. I know what you need. You need your Bible, right? He needs a Bible. The Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You wouldn't want to walk this dark path late at night without a flashlight, without a Bible, would you? So give him a Bible. Oh, thanks. All kinds of volunteers for lights. As long as you don't have to go, let him go. Now, here's the thing, though. How many of you think a young people person armed with a Bible is enough? You know, I don't think it is. I would be afraid to go down that path by myself, even with my Bible in my hand. He needs something else. He needs a pastor, and he needs parents with him. So, Mom and Dad, would you come up here, please? While they're coming, I want to give all of you an outstanding piece of information. This is true for every person in the room. Your parents are older than you are. And because your parents are older than you are, they have this thing called the wisdom of the years. And they have then this ability to be able to help you because they've gone through experiences. They can see down the road. They can see things that they can warn you about that you might be able to avoid. And I tell you, young people, if you're here today and you've got Christian parents, you are so incredibly blessed. But if you're here today and your parents are not Christians, it still doesn't give you the right to rebel against them. Why? Because your father has lived long enough and he can see the dangers that lay ahead. So the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." One of the best things that you can do today, young person, is to take your heart out and give it to your parents. Say, I want to give you my heart. I want you to help me as I go through life. I want you to help me make right decisions and right choices. So I'm giving you my heart today so that you can steer me from the dangers that lie ahead. Things that you know from experience and things that you have seen and maybe the mistakes that you made or the mistakes that you saw other people make. Help me, spare me from those mistakes. Well, that would be a wise thing today. So here we are. You know, God is going to help us. And actually, why don't we get Pastor Craig up here too? Pastor Craig, you come on the other side of Mom. Justin, you're in the middle here. Okay, you're in the middle. You're between Pastor and Dad. Pastor and Dad are going to have their arms around each other here like this. And that's the way it should be. You know what? This is the picture of what it should be like. And now our boy feels secure. He's got Dad, he's got his pastor, he's got a couple of spiritual leaders that are going to help him. So now let's go down the path. Still got your bucket?
Yep.
All right. Got your wait, we all need flashlights too. So grab your Bibles. All right. So here we go. Let's go down the path. Oh, what's the first thing that we come to? Help us out. The Komodo dragon. Ugh, we want to stay away from that dragon. So here we go. Look at his tongue. Yuck. All right. What's the next thing that we come to in the path? Tree snake. There he is. Look. Watch. Let's move away from the tree snake. And the next thing we come to? The pythons. Ugh, we don't want to get too close to them either. So here we go. And the next thing that we come to? Crocodiles. Crocodiles, watch out for that croc. Here we go. Here, and then the last thing? Quicksand. We better jump over the quicksand. All right, dip your bucket in the water. Get the water. Praise God, you made it. All right, you can sit down. Young people, listen to me very carefully. Your teenage years are the most dangerous years of your life. They are the most critical years of your life. And those things that I described to you with those wild beasts are nothing compared to the dangers that you face in this world. They are nothing compared to peer pressure and wrong movies and wrong friends and wrong influences and drugs and witchcraft. They are nothing compared to those things. And don't ever say that you can go it alone. Don't ever say that you can go it alone. One of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life is for some young person whose parents have loved them and cared for them and protected them and taken them to church and taken them places and raised them and given them a good home and taught them the things of the Lord, to see that young person get to be 14 or 15 years old and turn their backs on God and not go in the right way and turn their backs on mom and dad and can't stand their mom and dad anymore. That's one of the saddest things that I have ever seen. And so I would encourage you today to give your heart to your mom and dad. Give your heart to your parents, because when you give your heart away, you give your life away. There is nothing else to give. Give them your heart. You see, your parents have a problem. They really only want two things from you. That's it. Number one, they want you to love them. And number two, they want you to do right. And sometimes in their effort to get you to love them, they let you do wrong. And then you regret those decisions and you begin to not think so highly of mom and dad. And then you really go downhill fast. Don't ever try to trap your parents. But instead, you should come to them. You should go to your parents and you should tell them what's going on in your life and ask them to help you make the right decisions. Say, I have these choices to make. Mom, Dad, I need your help. What is the right choice? I have two paths that lie before me. I don't know which is the old path and which is the new path. I want to make the right choice. I want to go down the right path. Would you help me? And your parents would be glad to help you because they love you. And they want what's best for you. Our broken heart. God is an amazing God. You know that? He is able to take the broken pieces of our life. He is able to take our broken hearts. And He is able to restore them. And put them back whole again. If you're here today and you have a broken heart, you've given your heart away, maybe to the wrong person. Maybe you've given your heart away to the wrong person or the wrong activity. God is able to restore that heart today. And every single one of you ought to be giving your heart to God. You know, it used to just blow me away when people would come back after a time of rebellion in their life and say, I never felt convicted. My heart never condemned me when I was doing those things. It took me a long time to figure out why, and then I thought of it. What they had done was they had already given their heart away. They had already become emotionally involved and had given their heart away. And how is it that God speaks to us primarily? It's through our heart. God is not able to speak to our heart because we have given our heart to somebody else. We have given our heart someplace else, and God is not able to penetrate that heart. And so you got to give your heart to God first of all. And then you should give your heart to your pastor and to your parents. God's promise to those who walk in His path is that they will find rest for their souls. That is, in His path, we can be assured of three great things. Number one, we can be sure that we will arrive at the proper destination. When we take the Lord's highway, we can be sure that it will end in His presence. Number two, we can travel in safety, knowing that the Lord is guarding our way. Not only will we end up where we want to be, but we will get there in the safest, most peaceful manner possible. And number three, we can know that while we are on the Lord's path, the deepest needs of our soul will be met. There will be fellowship with Him and joy in His presence at the end of the way. However, those who don't ask for His path will find themselves walking in the way of destruction and misery. When we turn our backs on the way God has chosen as the right way, we will find that the way is difficult, there is no peace or safety, and even the destination itself is in question. But there is a reward for all those who walk in the Lord's pathway. Our text tells us that some decided that they would not walk in the Lord's will and in the Lord's path. The results of their choice was chastisement and destruction. You understand, I'm not here condemning anybody this morning. If you've chosen to go the wrong way, I'm just trying to get you to come back the right way. That's it. I love you this morning. I love every one of you. And I want you to come back to your parents. I want you to come back to the ways of the Lord, following that way which is called right. It's the old path. I close with a story about Patty. Patty was a 14-year-old girl who one morning got up and her mom told her that she had some chores that she wanted Patty to do before school. Patty looked at her mom and said, "Mom, I hate you. I wish you would just leave me alone." And Patty's mom talked to her all the way to school, but Patty was just silent. Patty attended a Christian school. They got to the Christian school. Patty's mom was distraught. She took her to see the pastor. And in front of the pastor, Patty said to her mother, "Mom, I hate you. I wish you were dead." And with that, Patty walked out of the office and she went to her class. About a week went by. Not much conversation between Patty and her mom. About the last thing Patty ever said to her mom at this point was, "Mom, I hate you. I wish you were dead." 7 days after that initial consultation in the pastor's office, Patty's mom dropped her off at school, and then she left. Shortly after, news reached the principal of the school that Patty's mom had been killed in a car accident. She didn't make it home. She never got home. She had died immediately at the scene. The pastor had to go and tell Patty the sad news. He went to the room that Patty was in and he said, "Patty, would you come out here, please? I need to talk to you." Patty real snippetly said, "What does my mama want now?" "Patty, I've got some bad news." Patty's countenance began to change. "Patty, after your mom dropped you off this morning, she had a car accident. Patty, your mother's dead." Patty began to beat on the walls and to scream out, "No, no, not my mama, not my mama." 3 days later, Patty stood over the casket of her mother. Looking down in the casket, she began crying. "No, Mama, no, Mama, you can't be dead. I didn't mean what I said, Mama. I love you. I wish you were here, Mama. I wish you were here." But those lifeless eyes and those ears of Patty's mother could not hear. I think that probably to this day, Patty is still saying those same words. "Mama, I love you. Mama, I didn't mean it when I told you I hated you. Mama, I love you. I wish you were here. I wish you were back. I didn't really wish you were dead." But it was too late. Listen, if you're here today, young people, and you know that there's a rift between you and your parents, you get it straightened out. You go to them, even today, and you get it worked out. Don't let another moment go by, but you make sure that things are right between you and your parents. If you're here today and there's something that's not right between you and your youth pastor or you and your pastor, you come to us today and you get it right. Give us your heart. We only want to help you. We just want to steer you down the right path. That's all. We're watching for your soul, yes, because we want to help you. We want to make sure that you make it to your destination safely. If you're here today and your heart is not right with God, that is the place you need to begin. To get down on your knees before God and say, "God, my heart is not right with you. I can't give you my whole heart today." Make sure that you give God your heart. Even before you leave here today, "God, here's my whole heart. Take it. Take my heart. My son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways." Could I have your head bowed and your eyes closed? I need to ask you today, how is your soul? Is it right with your soul? Is it right with your mind, your will, and your emotions? Maybe you're here today and you've had some wrong thoughts. You can't say that your mind is where God would want it to be today. Why don't you just confess that to Him? He knows what you think about. Lord, my mind has not been right. I've had wrong thoughts. Would you cleanse me? Would you help me? Or maybe you're here today and you've been willful. You know that. It's been a little bit of, I'm going to do what I want to do no matter what anybody else says. Your actions have been self-centered. Willful actions. Why don't you tell the Lord that today? Lord, I'm sorry. My will is not in the place that it needs to be. I know I've not done your will. I've done my own will. Forgive me. Or maybe you're here today and you know that your emotions have not been in the right place. You have been letting your emotions dictate your life. Your emotions have been deceived. Maybe you've given your heart away to the wrong person. It's sad when a young person, I've seen it happen to Christian young people, give their heart away to a strange woman or an evil man. We need all of you to give your hearts to the Lord and to your parents and keep your heart with your parents so that they can protect you through these difficult years. They can help you through these difficult times until you're able to stand at the marriage altar and give your whole heart to that one that you have chosen to be your husband or your wife. How many here today would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? My soul is not where it should be. There's something wrong in my mind, my will, or my emotions. I'm confessing that today, and I'm asking for the Lord's help. Could I see your hands? Anybody? Amen. Amen. Others? Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, today, we thank you for the safety that you have given us. We thank you for surrounding us with Christian leaders. We thank you for surrounding us with our parents. We thank you for the parents that you have given us. Lord, today we pray that you would help us to see that you work through our parents and our authorities in our lives. And Lord, I pray that if there is one here today that is rebellious, Lord, that they would stop in their rebellion and they would consider the end. They would consider the end of their ways, the end of the path, misery and destruction. Lord, I pray that if there is any young person here today that needs to go to their parents, that you would give them the grace and strength to be able to do that, that they would make it right. Lord, may our whole soul, may it be whole in our mind, our will, and our emotions. May we be wholly thine today. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord, who reigns in beauty. Bless the Lord, who reigns in wisdom and
with power.
Bless the out part of the message today, but I just want you to know that not only do we try to discourage you when you're doing wrong, but we want to come alongside you and encourage you when you're doing right. And there are many here that are doing right. And then just to have your pastor or your mom or dad walk up to you and say, you know, this is the right path. God bless you. You're doing a good job. Parents, you need to do that now and then. You need to praise your children. Let them know that you're proud of them for making the right decisions and the right choices. And a young person, if you're walking away from God and we see you going on a wrong path, don't be surprised if Pastor Craig or myself or somebody else jumps you and holds you onto you and says you're going the wrong way. Don't ever regret it when we do that. Don't despise us for that. We're only trying to help, okay? I'll leave you with a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." The old way isn't popular anymore. It's being abandoned by people who have decided that the new is better. We're leaving the Bible, the old songs of faith, old-fashioned worship, praising the Lord, and preaching. Seeker services are replacing old-time worship of the Lord. And yet I remind you that God has not changed. Let's walk with God. Let's walk in the right way without apology and without backing down. Let's hold our heads high as we walk down the path that God has ordained for all of us. God bless you. Thanks for being such a good audience today. Good listeners, you're dismissed.